How are you coping in lockdown? We're into week 7, and it sort of feels like there's no end in sight. Alan Hudson is a local psychologist, and he's going to share some techniques to help us cope during lockdown. Alan, good morning to you.
Good morning, Peter. Are you surviving and staying sane?
Well, there would be some people who say the latter is not true. But I do realise that in this period of time that things aren't the same, and to try and, I guess, have some semblance of what it was like prior to January last year is not necessarily the best way to be in terms of mental health.
Yeah, it is very challenging, and as you know, we're still, you are in Wollongong, but where I live, we're not in lockdown, but I think the challenge is to stay sane to some people, have some sense of mental well-being is gets more acute as the weeks go by. And look, Peter, I'm finding that there are, when I talk to patients or when I talk to corporations or government agencies, I base my advice, my psychological tips around four major areas for people to focus on, I suppose. One is building connections. So maintaining our relationships with people who are really important to us is even more important. Ideally face to face. But of course, for many of us, it's not possible to do that. But the key there is not to rely on, interestingly, not to rely on texts, is where possible to activate the reward pathways in our brains to have FaceTime, FaceTime meetings or Zoom, or telephone. And I think that's what a lot of people don't fully realize, that the brain isn't getting the same sort of charge, if you could call it that, Peter. Texting doesn't do it. It's telephone. Obviously, face-to-face is always better because you're in the room, you're physically there in the space with whoever it is. But FaceTime is the next best, or telephoning, not text. Doesn't do the same thing.
So, I mean, some young generation think that texting and messaging is actually the best way to go. And I talk to some young people I know, and they say, "Oh, yeah, I spoke to them the other day." And I say, "Well, did you call them?" "Oh, no, we swapped texts." So they actually think that they're talking to people.
Yes, and that's what's fascinating. I had a female patient recently, Peter, in my rooms here in Camberwara. And her major problem was a daughter, 16, who refused to use the phone. She would rely only on text to communicate with her friends or family. And this was a major concern for her mother. And you're absolutely right. It's a growing, I think it's a major social, psychological problem. And it's causing high levels of stress and anxiety in that age group than older.
Is the stress and anxiety because they can't see the visual cues that come with having the person in the room that you talked about? That if you're in the room with someone, you can see the body language, you can see the smile, you can see the movements, you can see how people are sitting and reacting to the word you're saying. And if you don't have that, then it doesn't concern you.
Yeah, I think that's a big part of it. We are social animals. We rely on, and our brains in particular, Peter, need the charge. They need the activation of particular one is oxytocin that we get face to face, seeing people, watching the reactions, that spontaneous humor, the laughter, that the way a conversation is lively and moves around from topic to topic, that doesn't happen with texts. and it's simply not the same. But it's the younger, say under 20s, that's what they've grown up with. So they're used to relying often only on that kind of communication. But it is directly related to higher levels of mental health problems in that group. The use of social media is, every parent complains about it, and it's actually doing harm. It's not just a habit. It's actually doing harm, that they're struggling without the face-to-face warmth, if you like.
It is one of those things that in terms of resilience, you wonder whether individuals can be resilient if they're not having that interaction.
I believe so, that they can't, Peter. I think that I talk to people about saying that it's useful to see our resilience like our emotional battery, our empathy battery, and the psychological work, the research supports that idea, that we have a certain amount of empathy, we have a certain amount in our battery each day, and that face-to-face interaction recharges and enables us to recharge our resilience, which is our ability to bounce back and cope. And what's happening is the challenges and uncertainties are increasing. They're not decreasing, and people's resilience is the people are really struggling to cope. And as you said in your opening segment, there's a lot of unknowns. There's a very good chance the lockdown will extend beyond the end of August. So that uncertainty across so many areas of people's lives, is ending up with people seeing psychologists and people really struggling.
I mean, people can use Lifeline, of course. 1311 14 is the number. 13 11 14. How can you work to improve your psychological resilience?
Well, the first building connections, Peter, that I mentioned a couple of minutes ago is one. So really focusing on maintaining and building connections with people who we know are good for our heads, if you like, to put it sort of briefly. Another is fostering our own well-being, and our own well-being is obviously our mental well-being, it's physical exercise, it's our diet, it's minimizing negative outlets, so not relying on too much alcohol. And of course, we've seen alcohol consumption been going up. A third is that I talked about helping people find meaning and purpose. So looking, things like seeing if people can work for some local charity, helping people, what's called random acts of kindness, just helping people for the good of it. Setting your own personal goals and trying to keep to those, and then the fourth, fairly briefly, of course, is what I call healthy thinking, which is keeping things in perspective. How so many people are thinking about the people who are worse off than us, people in other countries, people in other states, trying to maintain a level of optimism. And I think an undercurrent of a lot of this, Peter, that I see, it's incredibly important, is being very deliberate about what we decide to do. So, as I say to people who come and talk about wanting to, for example, do more exercise, we have to be quite specific, Peter, about saying, I'm going to go and walk an hour three times a day, three times a week. Being very deliberate. If we just rely on chance, we have to be quite deliberate about saying, this afternoon I'm going to do that, or by the end of the week I'm going to do such and such. And that helps build our ability to build our resilience and our
Yeah.
ability to cope and stay together.
It's interesting. We must have hit a nerve with texting. We've got a couple of texts. One says, because we take a text service, which the
Yeah.
problem with texting is there's no irony font. That's true.
Very very good point, yes.
And
Very, it's a very unsubtle way of communicating, isn't it?
very much so. And Froggy from Thirroul in Dharawal country says, Peter, thankfully my 21-year-old son prefers to ring than text or message. He leaves his phone in the kitchen when he goes to bed. He says that I have bigger problems with social media and texting. Wow, that's interesting. True, yes. I don't know what he means, says Greg, but that's true. Yeah, a lot of people have problems with texting and social media, don't they? Look, it's interesting. I guess the thing to be remain positive and set appointments for yourself and do specific things rather than being vague, but also be in the room with someone if you can. Even if you're going for a walk with someone, you're actually seeing them. And video conferencing is what you think is a good thing, as long as, and telephone as well, but don't do messaging.
That's right. And I think your caller, your texter, Peter, who talks about irony, texts are very limited and occasionally very misleading way to communicate. It's very, very single dimension and can actually do harm. But it's, yeah, there's no warmth in it. It's no warmth. It's not a replacement for really good communication.
Alan, appreciate your time. Thank you.
It's a pleasure.
Alan Hudson, psychologist, looking at resilience in lockdown.